方を拾う。
Thank you.
tornadoes and one flood after another, whole houses being swept away by a flood. I listened to one of the announcers, and the lady, her house was floating away. And she called her loved one. She said, "I love you because I know I'm not going to make it." You know, that's, I don't know if you all heard this story. The house was floating away. Some kind of way, her husband survived, but she died. You know, and there were so many that are missing out in Texas because of the flooding and the tornadoes. And they said this is the first time in the history of Texas they had flood warning watches like this. Amen. So I don't know about you, but when I see all of these first times, it's a sign of the time that the Lord is on his way back. Amen. And the scripture said that God is coming back for a people that have made themselves ready. I wonder tonight, are we ready? Are we making ourselves ready? Amen. The only sure thing that we should have on our side tonight is making it to heaven. Amen. But we praise the Lord. I was a little buggy in here, but God is good anyhow. Amen. And how do you know what our theme is?
Believe in God and against all odds.
What's our theme?
Believe in God and against all odds.
You know, sometimes the odds are really stacked against you, and you don't know where else to turn or where else to turn to. Nothing like having a God that is faithful. The scripture says concerning God that he is faithful. Amen. So tonight, we're going to believe God against all odds, and we're just going to stay in the way. Amen. While looking at, we did have it on the screen, this coming Saturday at 7 p.m., New Life Church of Christ, the Mackey Center Home Away From Home, is having their 55th anniversary with Bishop Lawson and Mother Lawson. Amen. 7 p.m. on Saturday evening. Amen. I encourage you, as many of you go as can, as possible that can go, if God permits you the time. There's nothing like fellowship. Amen. And many times you miss your blessing when you don't go out and fellowship. So we just bless the Lord, and we thank God for that. We just thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. God is about to do some great things. You might not see it now, but the thing about God is when God makes you a promise. The Bible says that God promises to God are sure and they are steadfast. When God makes you a promise, it won't be altered or changed. So we bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife this evening. And for God blessing her with health and strength in this heat. Amen. We have MS, Sister Dan, is a challenge. But we bless God that he's keeping you all in spite of it. Amen. God is just so good. Amen. How many enjoyed themselves on Monday?
Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody had a good time on Monday?
Amen.
We thank God for that. We're going to continue our thought on that we had on Sunday concerning an old-fashioned prayer. You know, people are doing everything today but pray. And you know, the Lord in Ephesians chapter, the sixth chapter, when he gives them all the weapons of our warfare, what he finishes with is praying always. Not sometimes. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Paul says to be instant in prayer. But in Ephesians 6:18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Today, if there was a time, there was a time that we need to pray. It is now. Amen. So we're going to continue on our thought about an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Before I have you all stand, I know it's been a challenging week, eating all the difficulties. So we're going to make you all stand with us young people. Amen. I'm going to give you all a chance to rest a little bit. But tonight, what do you do when you're in a distressing situation? Who do you turn to when it seems like the bottom has fallen out and you have nowhere else to go? What do you do when you are in distress? Amen. And the subject we're going to deal with, the people we're going to deal with tonight, we're going to deal with the Lord Jesus and also with David. Because their distress came from someone that was real close. Amen. And many times when we have heartaches and disappointment, it's not a distant person, but it's someone that's, can we say real close?
Real close.
Real close, and causes us a hardship or a burden. But what do you do in that hardship? The person that you thought you could count on until the end, when they let you down, what do you do? Amen. Those that promise that I'll be with you, no matter how bad it gets, I'll stick with you. And then when you get in your situation and you need help, where are they at? So who do you turn to in your distress? In your point of time of need, who do you turn to? Amen. So let us stand for our scripture reading. We're going to read from the 55th division of Psalms. Amen. 55th division of Psalms. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13 together. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 55, verses 1 through 13. And this is a Psalm of David. Amen. This is one of those Psalms with which many of the expositors and theologians and Bible scholars believe David wrote this psalm as he was fleeing from his son Absalom. His own son was trying to kill him. So David's son had a coup, overthrew him as king, and then sought his life. So what did David do in his distress? Who did he turn to in his distress? Are y'all with me? All right, verse 1 reads, give ear. He's in distress. David said, it's time for me to pray. O God, and hide not thyself from my
supplication.
Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and I make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore. When your heart is overwhelmed, when your heart is sore, what do you do? I just follow David, I pray. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death
are
all around me. Death is all around me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror. David was in a bad situation. But he said, Lord, give ear unto my prayer. Verse 7 said, verse 6, sorry. And I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, for then would I fly.
And
he said, if I could just do it. You ever get one of those situations? If I could just do anything to get away from this situation so I could just get me some rest. Right? Y'all gotta say amen, but I know it's one of those situations in this. Amen. I say, Lord, then when I wander forth and remain in the wilderness, pause and think about that. So just take a break for a moment, say lie. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongue. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night, they go about it upon the wall thereof. Mischief also and sorrows are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her street. He said, for it was not. Oh, thank you. I was relaxed, but it was not an enemy that reproached me.
Church said, the word of the Lord.
That's already made me seated in the presence of the Lord. David is in distress. And at this time, he is fleeing for his life. David is trying to do anything to get away from someone who they went to church together. They were close. They were very, very close. And many believe that the close friend that he's talking about was his spiritual counselor. Amen. Because he's fleeing from Absalom, who's trying to kill him. And so Psalm 55 paints a portrait of betrayal and denial. Psalm 55. Because there was someone that you wouldn't even have a guard up for. Someone you trust fully. But that's the one that lets you down. That's the one that caused you all kind of distress. So in the midst of the distress, the one that you just counted on to the end, what do you do? Who do you turn to in your low moment? Amen? So Psalm 55 points a portrait of betrayal and denial by someone who is very, very close to David by the name of Ahithophel. And the reason that this is sort of like Christ, and we're going to read about it a little later, is because Ahithophel was David's counselor and close confidant. And the Bible says that when Ahithophel gave counsel, it was though he was speaking directly from God. That's what kind of counselor and guidance he gave David. But then when David's son Absalom revolted and had a coup and took over the kingdom, Ahithophel became a traitor. And he went on Absalom's side. The very one that had been going to the house of God, the one that had been instructed and given David spiritual guidance, how do you expect it? How do you even find this? That person you're supposed to count on to the end. But Ahithophel switches sides. And the reason this is a type of portrait of Christ is because when Ahithophel's counsel was not followed by Absalom, he went out and hang himself. Alright, so we're going to go through that. So Ahithophel is David's counselor, his spiritual counselor and advisor. And the scriptures say he spoke as though it was directly from God. But when things, it is a lot more involved with Ahithophel, because remember David, just the surface, given the surface, David committed sin with Bathsheba. Alright? And Bathsheba was married to Uriah. And Bathsheba's father was Eliam, and Eliam's father was Ahithophel. So Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. And by marriage, Uriah was Ahithophel's grandson. So when David had Uriah killed, there was a lingering that was in Ahithophel, because he wanted to get back at David. Even though he was in a spiritual position to get David counsel, there were some underlying issues that you couldn't see with the naked eye. Amen? If we go to Psalm, just so we can keep up with it, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read verses 11 through 13. Amen? This is describing when Absalom revolts against David. And give you some background history for how David was in distress. He was fleeing for his life. Listen, things happened so fast, all David could do was flee. He couldn't take anything with him. He just had to get out because his own son was trying to kill him. So verse 11 says, "And when Absalom had 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything." They didn't have a slightest idea what Absalom was doing. So sometimes you have to be careful who you're following, because they have a motive that you're not aware of until it manifests itself. Amen? And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David. He was whose?
David's counselor.
That's why Psalm said it was not an enemy. Amen. He said, I could have understood. He said, it wasn't even someone that I hated. But it was a man my own equal. He said, we went to the house of God together. I took counsel from him. But the very one I strong, for their people increased continually with Absalom. Verse 13, and there came a messenger to David saying, the heart of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And let's get down to verse 31 for the sake of time. You can write the scripture to read in between on your own. And one told David saying, Ahithophel is one of the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Right, so the very one that you thought you could have confidence in, you got to watch it. But you got to have a prayer life when you have one of these distressing situations. Now let's go to 2 Samuel 16 and verse 23. Just to give you some background history of the type of person spiritually that Ahithophel was. He wasn't just an average run-of-the-mill person. He wasn't just one of the saints in church. He was above all the priests and everybody else. The verse 23 of the 16th chapter, do we all have it? It says, can we read this together? And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was if a man had inquired at the oracles of. He's like, this wasn't just an average person. So David as king, he had no idea of the motives of what was going on. So was the counsel of Ahithophel, both of David and Absalom. Now, Judas was like that with Jesus. He was not with the 12. So that's why they said this portrait with David and Ahithophel also portrays that of Jesus and Judas. All right. Now, let's go down to 2 Samuel verse 17. And this is going to explain more why they believe this is one of those Psalms that portrays Christ and his suffering and his denial. Because of verse 23 of 2 Samuel 17, verse 23. Do we all have that? It says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he sat his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself in what?
Die.
But he was supposed to be with David. But he betrayed him, and because Absalom did not follow his counsel, he went out and hanged himself. Now, let's see. Go to Psalms 41, verse 9. Let's see what David writes about Ahithophel. He wasn't just anybody. He was someone close to David. He was a friend. Amen. That's why I said, what do you do when the closest person, the one that you have the most confidence in betraying, when you are in distress, and you should be able to turn to them, but all of a sudden they're on the other side. What do you do? David's, oh Lord, hear my prayer. You got to learn to pray. You got to pray through those situations. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Psalm 41:9 says, David reads, right? Yea, mine own. It wasn't a stranger. It wasn't a nobody. It was somebody that I was close to. Lord, what do you do when your close friend, a spiritual individual, hurts you? What do you do? Who do you turn to? Amen. Now, we know the tendency today is that we go into depression. We get into oppression. We don't want to do anything. But I like what David did. David said, Lord, give ear to my prayer. There's nothing like having one of those old-fashioned prayer meetings when the bottom is falling out. And the thing is, you don't need nobody but you and God. And you don't have to get to church. You can pray right where you are. Amen. He said, yea, my own familiar friend, whom I trusted, which is eaten of my bread. Of my bread, has lifted up his heels. Who was it? My old friend. My question is, what do we do when the least expected thing happens? When the person that I thought I could count on, oh, when they let you down, what do you do? What is your outcome? What do you turn to? Amen. What do we do? I thought you said this, and all that I've done that we've done together, how can you betray me? David said, Lord, give ear unto my prayer. And if you read about in Matthew chapter 27, just Judas when he betrays Jesus, and Luke chapter, I believe it's Luke chapter 22, it goes over it. Jesus, when Judas comes to Jesus, and Jesus said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And what did he call him?
Friend.
And so he calls him friend just to show you how these Psalms tie in with the life of Jesus. So he calls him friend, and then after Judas realized that the law was not going to be free, he went back to them. He said, here's your 30 pieces of silver. And then he went out and hung himself. That's why this psalm ties so closely to Jesus. Because Judas was not a stranger. He wasn't an outsider. He was one of the inner circles. He was the one that walked with Jesus and saw all the miracles. So what do you do when the person that you count the most lets you down? Jesus called him?
Friend.
Amen. So now let's go back to Psalms 55. Go back to Psalms 55. Verse 1 says, David, in his distress, he said, it's time for me to pray. Amen. It's no use for me calling on anybody else. It's time for me to pray. I'm saying we have some disappointments and letdowns. Don't stop praying. It's time to have one of those old-fashioned prayer meetings. David says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my. He said, attend. He said, Lord, I'm in help. He said, I don't want you to just casually come to me. He said, but I want you to attend. Lord, I need you to help me in my situation. And I need help, right? Remember Saul of Paul, when he had a thorn in the flesh, he said, I besought the Lord. Lord, take this thing away from me. But what did he do? He didn't go to anybody. He didn't go to the other apostles. He didn't go to those that were with him. He went to who? Right to God for himself. He said, Lord, take. He said, for three times I asked the Lord to what? Take this thorn away from me. But God sent him back this message. That's why you got to have a prayer life. And then after you pray, you got to, listen. A lot of times in our distress, we pray, we cry, we do everything, but we fail to listen. So the Lord sent back this reply to him after he had prayed three times. He says, so, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So in your weakness, that's when you have to pray. So when we get weak, a lot of times we fail to
pray.
We do everything but pray. Amen? So he said, attend unto me, hear me. I mourn in my complaint and I make a noise. Alright? And let's skip down, because we read most of this already. Let's skip down a little further to verse 16. This is David. He's in distress. Now this is a psalm he's repeating over and over and over again. He's trying to get some help from God. Verse 16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord. David said, who else can I turn to? Who else can I depend on? And the Lord asked the disciples, where you go also? They said, Lord, where can we go? Who are you going to turn to? Thou hast the words, but I'm afraid today in our crisis situations, we, most of us, leave the Lord out. We turn to everybody else and we won't pray. We won't hear directly from God. He says, for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. And this is how much, you know, he said, I need some help. This is how he prayed. Anybody want to follow this format or this pattern for prayer? This is how he prayed. He said, the evening and at noon, I need help. I'm going to pray without ceasing. I'm going to be instant in prayer. I'm going to pray evening. I'm going to pray morning and noon while I pray and cry out and he shall. God's going to hear you. Don't stop praying. Amen. Prayer will make a way out of no way. Now, I want to, we all know the Lord, what the Lord says in Luke 18, verse 1. The Lord says what? Men are what? How often? Always to pray, right? And not to
faint.
When your things are the worst of the worst, do you stop praying? Do you quit? I'm just wondering how many people that are giving up on God because of someone else has let them down. Don't stop praying. Don't faint, all right? Jude, and we all quote Jude. We all say, but you love and love yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We know that, right? But why do we stop there? Because he says, when you keep, in the next verse, he says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. When you what? Pray. So some people are getting out of the love of God. Some people are missing the mind of God. You know why? Not praying. So yes, you build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. And by praying, you keep yourself in God like you ought to. Somebody say, well, I'm not in God like I ought to. What is your prayer life like? Amen? Let's go ahead. Go to Jude, verse 28 and 21. Let's read that together. All right? I'm not going to belabor the moment. I'm not going to beat the moment. But if we can do anything, let's get prayer. Let's make prayer a friend. All right? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and reach to there. What a Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. What a privilege it is to carry. I wonder how many of us are really carrying everything to God's prayer. He's a friend. You can carry everything to God. Oh, what peace we offer. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not. Can I say, can we say everything?
Everything.
Now, just do your personal inspection of your life. What things have you not carried to God that you tried to fix on your own? Right? What things have you tried to fix because you thought you had the way? The scripture says, in all our ways acknowledge him and he will what? But it didn't start there. He said, first you have to trust in the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Then, right? Don't say, I'm just going to pray. God said, not saying it all my way. But you don't trust God. You acknowledge God, but you do what you want to do. And you think God is going to answer your prayer. No. You have to trust in him with
all
your heart. And then don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will
direct
thy path. Amen. We're talking about prayer. Verse 20 of Jude reads, but ye, you know God says we have beloved. God loves us. But ye beloved, build up yourselves on your
faith.
It's not just a regular faith. It's what kind of faith?
Holy.
Holy. You know, when you get holy, that's God. Because God is holy. Right? On your most holy faith, what? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, when you pray like God, pray verse 1 myself. Verse 21 says, what?
Keep yourself.
Well, why aren't you in God like you ought to? What is your prayer life like? When you pray like you ought to, that helps you to keep yourself in the. Now, we do a lot of things in place of prayer, but that doesn't give us an answer or an ear to hear what the Spirit will say to us. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going over scriptures that we pretty much all know. But there's the importance of prayer. A lot of people get spiritually weak. Well, why are they getting spiritually weak? Because they're not building themselves up. But how do you build yourself up? Through what?
Prayer.
Right? That's the way you build yourself up, through prayer. Yeah, music is great. All that is good. But in the final analysis, when you need help, it's time to
pray.
Time to pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 says, "For he that speaketh in an I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. He that speaketh in unknown tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto you. For no man understands him, how being in the Spirit he speaketh." And verse 4 says, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, what? Edifies himself. And go down to verse 18. Now, some people wonder why Paul in particular says, "I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all." Paul went through the worst of everything more than the other apostles. If you read his history, his resume, he talks about spending a night in the day in the evening, how it was me. He was repeatedly in prison. So Paul said, "My situation is so bad, I have to." And because my situation is more pressing than yours, I gotta pray more than
you.
Yes, Peter, you have some trials, but you know what God has sent me, so I gotta pray more
than you.
And y'all. Right? Because my situation is of the magnitude. When God called me, he said, "I must show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake." So I didn't start this road expecting it to be a bed of roses, pieces of green, but I already knew from God that I was going to suffer. So when God took me out in the Arabian desert for those 3.5 years, he taught me how to
pray.
Anybody want God to teach me how to pray? Paul knew, he knew what he was in for. So he learned how to pray. Amen. Now we're going to close in Acts the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16. Actually, we're going to start at verse 5 of Acts chapter 16. Now we're talking about the Apostle Paul, who went through difficulties, challenges. Amen. He was betrayed by one. Payment has forsaken me. How love to spread the word of those. Alexander the coppersmith. All those that he helped, they all turned their back on him. Amen. Barnabas didn't turn his back on him, but him and Barnabas went their separate ways because they could not agree. All right, so all these were people that Paul was close to, but Paul didn't let that hinder him. Paul kept going forward. Amen. So Acts chapter 16, and we're starting in verse 5, just to let you know that God was still using Paul. It's verse 5 reads, "And so were the churches established in the and increased in number daily." Now Paul rewrites that when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in, well, how did the Holy Ghost again forbid him? He had to have a what?
Prayer life.
Because right? God said, "I'm not going to let you go into Asia yet." So he said the Holy Ghost forbid him, right? So he had to be praying. Paul was crazy. He wasn't going to say, "I can just go anywhere." But Paul was sensitive to the leading of the Lord. That's why he made it right. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. Because he learned to hear from God, right? So that said, the Holy Ghost forbade them, right? The next verse said, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit. So he's being led by the
Spirit,
right? So he had to have a prayer life. Amen. He said the spirit wouldn't let him go to Asia. And then when he went to go, the spirit would let him go to the next country. So he was being led by the spirit. Now, a lot of times when we think the spirit is leading us, we think, yeah, God is on my side. Praise the Lord to get better. But how many times God leading you, things may get a little worse. So God would let him go where he wanted to go. Amen. But he's being led by the spirit. Today we might not be where we want to be, but how many of us have an ear to hear? Where are you going? Which direction are you in? Are you going where you want to go, or are you going where God wants you? Are you doing what you want to do, or are you doing what God wants you to? Paul could have easily said, no, I want to go there. But he was sensitive to the leading of the Lord. And that's the question tonight. In our prayer time, do we listen to God? Because 6 and 7, back to back, God said, no, you can't go there. Right? And no, I know you won't, you can't go there. When God tells you no, what did you do? Well, many of us miss the no or the yes because we don't listen. We don't pray. When we determine to do something, we say, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. That's why James said, I will do this today or tomorrow if the Lord willingly. Right, cousin? If the Lord will, I will do this today. Everyone understands that. If I'll do this today or tomorrow if the Lord. How many of us have determined what we're going to do and forgot to ask God what he wants us to do? How many of us are perfect? How are we going to do something to say, well, God, can you just order my steps? Because the steps of a good man are. How do we know all these scriptures in knowledge, but we don't know them in practice and application? Because when it's time to do something, we forget God and we do what we want to do. Amen. So it's important that we acknowledge God. So in Paul's case, because God is ordering his steps, they should get better and not worse. Can we say praise the Lord? And verse 8 says, they testified in Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him. You got to have a prayer life. Paul was determined to do one thing, but God has something else for him to do. Prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. He saw this in me, so he had to be in tune with, you don't have a vision doing what you want to do. Now, you know what a division is? That's what? Two vision, right? That's what division means. Die is two, D-I-B-I is two, D-I, division, right? So you have two visions. Paul had one vision. He said, Lord, my desire is whatever pleases you. That's my vision. So I'm just going to stay in it. That's why I'm leaving all over the back behind God. I said, write the vision and explain. God, just write. I want to do it, but you got to write it. Make it plain so I know the direction to go. So Paul sees the vision, and the man says, come in. They want to talk about finances. They want some spiritual help from God. Can we say, praise the Lord? Verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord, you got to be in touch with God. He said, you know what? God has called me to go to Macedonia. Therefore, loosening, he went there. Go down to verse 13. It says, now, when he got to Macedonia, now this is his prayer life. This is what Paul does. Wherever he goes, he did not stop praying. Right? When he went from city to city, he was still praying. It says, verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where I'm going to find me an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Even though I'm here to help you, I'm still going to pray. All right? So he goes where prayer was made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of the purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us who taught the law open, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Well, when did Paul speak during the what?
Prayer meeting.
So a lot of times we miss our spiritual blessings because we don't attend the
prayer meeting.
Where was he at?
Prayer.
They weren't in church. They were in a prayer meeting. And someone gets saved. Amen. Verse 16 says, verse 15, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to
prayer.
Paul is doing all this. He's going to
prayer.
He's going to prayer again. Paul is pattern for us. He's giving us an example to follow. You want God to use you, you want God to bless you, you got to what?
Pray.
You got to pray. Amen. As we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought a mass of us gained by soothsaying, fortune teller, what it means. The same fault Paul and us crying, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation, has allowed iniquity in that for her, but we don't get into that. And this did she many days, and Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the woman, but to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the next day.
Came out
when?
Came
out. We got power. Hallelujah. And you use the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You don't have to wait a long time to do it. You do it right then and right now. But the problem is we don't pray and stay in tune with God to have the power. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most praying in the what?
Holy Ghost.
And verse 19, and when our master saw that the hope of her gain was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes. Wait a minute. God, you wouldn't let me go to Asia. You wouldn't let me go where I want to go. I came here and somebody got saved. I delivered somebody that had a spirit. Now I'm getting beat. Just let the Lord lead you. I heard the song said, where Jesus lead you?
I will follow.
Lord, lead me. Hallelujah. Oh, not just them, all the way from earth to glory. Lord, lead me. Lead me all the way. Huh. Yeah, I said, wait a minute. I didn't go there, I didn't go here. How did you hear now get beat? Right? Just let God lead you. And you can be assured in your old fashioned prayer meeting that they got beat. He didn't say they didn't get beat a little bit, right? They laid how many stripes? Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't let me go where I wanted to go. Then you said somebody needs help, and when they need for me to help them, I got to get beat up. Let God lead you. He knows what to do. Can I get a praise the Lord? Amen. So he says that, let's go down to verse. Many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jail to keep them safely. Whoever received such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul is our pattern. Paul is our example. At midnight, Paul was crying and complaining. Paul was questioning God. And God, he said, no, go here. Told me don't go there. God, I did what you told me to do, and this is what I get for doing what you told me to do. That's how, don't we read like that sometimes? Yeah, okay. I do read like that sometimes. I don't know what y'all right. That's how I read it sometimes, right? Even Jacob, when God told Jacob, I'm gonna come back to this, when God told Jacob to go back and he was gonna bless him, But at any rate, back to the right side of things. Jacob's telling God, wait a minute, you told me to go back and all these blessings and all this stuff you're going to do. And now, Esau's coming with you, a 400 men. The Bible said Jacob was greatly distressed. Wait, and you remind me, Lord, I don't know what you told me to do. How is this happening? That because Jacob was a human just like we are, he was afraid. So he divided the camp into two. Right? He sent his family aside one way. He said, because if Jacob is coming, I mean, if Esau is coming, he's coming after me. So he said, I'm going to send everybody else aside, but I'm going to go by myself. And the Bible said, while he was by himself, there came a man and wrestled with him to the breaking of the day. And he told Jacob, he said, now you got to let me go. Now this is a synopsis of how we ought to pray. This is how you got to pray. Jacob was what? Greatly distressed. And the Lord came to Jacob and said, how am I going to let you go? You know all the trouble that's coming my way? You think I'm going to let you go easily? He said, let me go, Jacob. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go to you what? Blessed. That's how we have to learn to pray. In our distress. Not just a regular distress. Jacob was what? Greatly distressed. All right, I'm almost finished. Stuff is starting to talk back to me anyway, so. I'm going to start talking back, and I ain't asking. I guess he's saying you need to finish up. Yeah. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. You know, a lot of times we fail to recognize the sequence in which God does things. Now, God is not a random, arbitrary God to just do something. Why did he first sing and then pray? God is not arbitrary. You know, when he has something in the scripture, it's important to get the full meaning and understanding. You have to follow the details. And men like they what?
Pray.
Being in pain and hurting, they were what? And when they put them in stocks, those stocks were, that was part of the torture. They spread them wide and they were still in more pain. So they're paying for being in the stocks, which was like the yoke of wooden yokes that they had for the oxen. They would spread their hands and feet out to the widest part they could take. So they got the pain in their joints, the pain from the beating, and what did they do?
Pray.
And we don't have none of that. And what do in our distress, we better learn how to pray. So they prayed and say, praises unto God. And the prisoners, they were doing it in their hearts. I'm in trouble. They cried out, Lord, they cried out. It's that the prisoners, so they went on quiet, private situations. Right? They were in need, so they were crying unto God. They said, Lord, hear my prayer. He said, they come attend unto me. So in the midst of that situation, they cried out to God. And it was a witness also to the prisoners. All right? So the prisoners heard that. I'm almost finished. My time is not up, so I'm close. So the prisoners heard them, all right? Verse 26 says, and that's what I like about God, when you get his attention. When God moves in your situation, God doesn't have to move in a month, a week, or 2 weeks. When you get a hold of God, like you got to get a hold of God. When you got to get a hold of like Jacob, and that was a manifestation, Jacob was wrestling with the Lord. God said, let me go, Jacob. He said, I'm not going to let you go to you. Bless me. I'm saying, in our crisis situation, what are we doing? We talk to this, we talk to that one. Like, how about a little talk with Jesus? I heard somebody say, a little talk with Jesus will make what? Say, why don't we do it more often? In our crisis situations, what do we turn to everybody but God. And suddenly, there was a... God said, I can't do nothing. I can't allow anybody else to deliver you, so I'm going to come down and do it myself. Suddenly, there was not just a regular earthquake, but a what? You know what's so good? Now, this is how God is. They were praying where? In prison, right? Listen, they were praying where? What did God say in the earthquake? Where they were praying. He didn't say that what they weren't praying. He said it right to the... Because you don't read why anyone else was affected by the earthquake. He said it right where they were. So when you pray like you are praying, God won't send the answer down the street. He won't send it to your neighbor. He's going to send the answer right where you are praying. When you got a hold of God, He's going to send that deliverance. And can we say suddenly? Oh, God, thank you. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison, God didn't shake nothing else, but He shook where the problem was at. So when you learn to pray like you ought to pray, when you have your old-fashioned prayer meeting, God not going to shake the prison down the street. He's not going to shake the house of the neighbor. He's going to shake the foundation where you are. Can we say praise? God, oh, send me an earthquake. Whatever it takes, send it to my house. Send it to where I'm praying. I just need my old-fashioned prayer meeting. Amen. So the foundation of the prison was shaken. All the doors were open. And verse 27, let's keep skipping down a little further. Just to get you what? Show you what prayer can do. Somebody said, I know what prayer can do. And the keeper of the prison waking out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself. For we are all sealed here. God did all that to save a jailer. He did all that just to save the jailer. So Paul went complaining. Then he called for his life and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, and brought them out and said, sirs, are you going to pray like you want to pray? God will not only fix your situation, but He has saved somebody else. Because your life is now a witness and a testimony of your sin. If we don't do anything else, can we just work on praying? Pray right where you are. And the thing is, pray expecting God's going to answer. Because the Bible says the fervent, effectual prayer of a just be right before God. As long as you're right before God, listen, there are certain scriptures that we have to grab a hold of. You can't allow the devil or anyone else to take them away from you. It says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous means you're in right standing with God. You discern, you judge yourself. If you're in right standing with God, the Bible guarantees you that when you pray that fat, fiery, fervent prayer, it will avail much. Not might possibly, but the fervent official prayer availeth. Too many of us have given up on situations, quit, throwing in the towel because we stopped praying. If you pray like you ought to pray, God assures you He's going to make a way. He said, just be still. Can we say, be still? And know that I'm God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your husband, your wife is not God. Your brother, your sister, they're not God. That pastor, they're not God. Be still and know that I'm God. Hallelujah. I come the way you are. You don't have to come to me, but I'm God. And I make a way out of nowhere. Just be still. God bless your name. And know that I'm God. Your way through as the elders of ministry come forward and give man his first name.